This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner's Wes Durham. A cast of thousands behind the scenes, the real smart people keeping us afloat. We're just leading the parade. It's basically how that works. Chester and Fuller are sound asleep. By the way, Hyper Piper is in the home. Gigi's back, so Hyper Piper's upstairs. We may show you Hyper Piper before we're out of here this week, because we're done Wednesday, and we'll be off Thursday and Friday like just about everybody else. We may get Hyper Piper down here in the studio if she doesn't destroy it. But the boys are sound asleep. They are so thankful that they're hanging out in here, nice and quiet. Can't get harassed by Piper. So that's the deal. All right, Wes, we got Dan Radakovich, athletic director at Clemson University, going to join us an hour from now. Jeff Capel, Pitt basketball coming up in hour number three, the power hour. But right now, as he always joins us on a Monday, 8 sharp, Eric McLean, front and center. Eric, what's up, bud? You doing all right?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I can relate with, the boys down there not wanting to be harassed by a young pup and, just live their best life, because that's what happens to my dog anytime we have family that visits and they have a pup. She's just like, Dad, please take me away from this animal right now.
Well, that's happening in our house.
I noticed, by the way, I've noticed a couple times during our visits and maybe even occasionally in the huddle, there is a drive-by from your dog. Your dog tends to wander into the back of
shots.
She's
sleeping right here right
now. I like the way you work it out.
We'll see if if something happens, she'll get up or let us know. But she's asleep too right now.
There you go. All right, so let's get right to it. We had some games that were played, but everybody's talking about the game that wasn't played. What's your take on this one?
A tough situation, right? And really, I want to start, before all of this happened and talk about, let's call him Player X, because we don't know who it is, and we've heard a bunch of different things. But I've seen and read just a lot of stuff that, quite frankly, isn't correct, that people just don't know and are saying things that, aren't true. So I want to kind of establish this timeline, if we will, and then kind of talk about, the game itself and what was said and coaches' thoughts there. So we had a player who didn't feel good, who had some symptoms on Sunday, went and got tested himself, test came back negative, still experiencing some symptoms, did not practice, tested again, negative. Wednesday, he's asymptomatic. Asymptomatic means he doesn't have any symptoms. Cleared by the training staff, practices, has another COVID test, negative. 3 negative tests, guys. Goes into Thursday, no symptoms, practice is just fine. Goes into Friday morning, team travels, he's showing no symptoms. So this is now 3 days in a row where we've had 3 negative tests, 3 days of no symptoms. Why wouldn't you travel? So he gets on the plane. Unfortunately, that test on Friday comes back. As soon as the team finds out, he tested positive. He was isolated and returned home safely. And so I've seen so many different things that said Clemson traveled a player who was showing symptoms. He practiced all week. And that's just not true. And that's very irresponsible for people to say and to accuse any university of doing so. We are in a very different climate right now. And we have to understand that, there are things in place. So, yes, I totally understand Florida State's, side of it. I get that you've had a ton of players opt out. You've have some injuries. So player safety is of the utmost importance. Totally get that. But I also understand where Coach Sweeney's coming from and his frustrations. I mean, we have protocols in place. We have a standard. We have to trust these COVID tests. We can't just say, he tested negative, but he has some sniffles, or he tested negative, and all of a sudden we're not trusting any of the process that we have in place. So there was no miss or something that went wrong with the process. The standard of canceling a game was not met. And again, you look at Coach Sweeney, and was he maybe a little aggressive? Did he come out swinging? Sure, but he's a human just like all of us, and he has the right to be frustrated. And not just frustrated about his players, his staff. Think of all that goes into a football game, all that it takes, all the sacrifices these young men have made on both sides and all of college football to get to kickoff, to get to the day of the game. just to have that ripped away from you 3 hours before you're supposed to play. Think of the climate that we are in financially. Universities, athletic departments, people are losing their jobs. People are taking pay cuts. Clemson just announced that it's having to cut part of its track and field program. And oh, by the way, we just happened to waste over $300,000 taking a trip to Florida just to turn around and come right back. So there's a lot of frustration, I'm sure, on both sides. It sounds like more than, on the Clemson side, just what we've heard from different coaches. I get both sides, but, guys, it is an unfortunate situation for sure.
Eric, the other part about this is now it brings into question some of the little details involved in just how difficult this season has been. And Mark and I were talking about these representatives from each institution as it relates to the medical advisory group and some of the nuances that go into ultimately deciding with the representative from the conference and the two schools who have their medical representative, and they get on the phone and everybody basically signs off on the game being played that particular day. And you mentioned the intensity, and we've talked about this now a lot on this program, in part because I think Mark and I'm going to speak for myself here, we didn't feel like it was getting enough attention. The intensity Monday through Friday for the student athletes, whether it's football, soccer, whatever the case may be, just to be able to compete. Now to have that pulled away, what do we learn from this? And I think as much of the what has happened is what we take going forward. Because, Pac, you alluded to this. If we don't think we're going to have this happen somewhere else, we're sadly mistaken.
Right.
Because what we're getting ready to start Wednesday is a full season of this type stuff, right? In my opinion, based on travel, based on the test results, based on all the little intricacies that come into play, we've got to learn. So if this game's not played, then we got to learn something from it so there's more productive clarity moving forward as long as we're having to deal with the pandemic.
Yeah, and again, just to fall back on what it takes Sunday through Friday to get to kickoff. And again, I talked about the sacrifices that these young men and everybody, this isn't a Clemson, Florida State thing. This is a nationwide, if you're playing a sport right now, thing where you have to be so careful. You have to be so intentional about everything that you do. And it has to be exhausting. I mean, I cannot imagine the things that these guys are having to do, not being able to be, you know, with your brothers, with everybody on the team like you'd like to, not being able to be at a dinner table having dinner with your guys. You got to be separated. People have to be apart. You can't meet the right way. You can't learn the way you want to. You have to do it over Zoom. So there's all these things that are coming into play, all these sacrifices being made, and then to have it ripped away from you when you're there. You're at the place. You're about to get on a bus, on like 12 different buses, to go to the stadium and play this game. We're not doing it. And for the, you know, the reasoning, again, for protocol to have not been breached and things to have been done the correct way, it's just unfortunate. But, hey, like you said, Wes, the key thing here is going to be learning from it. The key thing here is going to be moving forward. This doesn't happen again. So, again, in a climate where financially everybody is stressed, we can't have this happen to people multiple times. I mean, it'll wipe you out, to be quite frank. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the conference does, what everybody in reaction does, just to prepare so this never happens again.
Well, I'll just point out again, I mean, you went through the Clemson laundry list from a financial standpoint. Again, we'll have Dan Radakovich coming on here in 50 minutes. But let's also understand Florida State's landscape. They've had 20% budget cuts. Mm-hmm. They have furloughed folks. It's tough. And you know, this was going to be the marquee home game. I mean, they would have loved to have played. That's why I went back to my points in the first hour. You got to take emotion out of this and understand both sides wanted to play. I still think both sides, from a protocol standpoint, did exactly what they thought was correct. My frustration sitting at home is that, hey, you got to find a solution for the game to be played. You just can't have folks making road trips and saying, hey, we're bringing everybody down. It's going to have a $300,000 road trip and have nothing accomplished. There were options available to get this game in, and unfortunately, we just couldn't find a middle ground. And that is a problem. That you've got to find solutions,
and I think that's
not issues.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's, again, where a lot of other frustrations are as well, is the fact that it seemed that Clemson, what we've heard, Clemson was willing to play this game at a later time, another day, staying in Tallahassee, but there was just no back and forth. Like you said, Pac, there was no wanting to find a solution, and I think ultimately that's what has led to all of this frustration. And again, just think about it. You know, how would Florida State be reacting if this was flipped the other way? I mean, if they flew up to Clemson and Clemson said, no, we're not playing, thanks for coming, thanks for spending all that money, go back home. I mean, they would be irate too. So it's a different situation, both teams. It's unfortunate that it happened. But like Wes said, the biggest thing that we have to do is learn from this.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question, especially given the tenuous nature of the way basketball is going to try and unfold here, starting on Wednesday. Eric, I want to go back to the games. Now Clemson has Pitt visiting, and I tell you this, the Panthers now, and I used the term hibernation, they had that little four-game hibernation, and now they've come back, and to be honest with you, Mark added, Kenny Pickett makes a world of difference. I agree with that, but Pitt now is playing like they mean it. And they played without Jordan Addison. They played without Servacio Dennis. They played without Brandon Hill. They played without two starters in the offensive line on Saturday and hung 40-odd on the Hokies.
And that's what you love to see, right? A team that, you know, we all were on this show saying, don't sleep on Pitt. Pitt's being disrespected. And then, of course, they go on and have a little bit of a bump in the road there that they do. But they're playing great football right now. Kenny Pickett is an absolute game changer. He makes all the world of difference for that offense, for that team. He just means so much. The things that he can do with his arm, throwing for over 400 yards this past weekend, and just really looking solid. I mean, he has made huge strides this year from last year. The way he's throwing the ball with authority, stepping into his throws, not just throwing, you know, ducks up in the air, not just throwing tunnel screens out to the side. This guy is pushing the ball downfield, getting it into the end zone, and for him not to have his favorite target in Jordan Addison, of course, other guys stepped up. Big DJ here going off for a great game. Ooh. It was impressive to see. And then the defense, that, like you guys said, I mean, they're stepping up and doing their part as well. Lead the country in sacks, have just a great group. And of course, that back four has taken some hits with some opt-outs and different guys here and there. But I mean, DeMar Hamlin stepping up huge is just a fury of a football player. Love the way that he plays, physical downhill. And, you know, I think Pitt they're going to look at, you know, some of the people who are saying this is going to be a blowout this coming Saturday and say, hey, wait a minute now. We're kind of finding our stride right at the right time.
Eric, what's your take on Virginia Tech, who's now, as I mentioned to Wes earlier, one of seven ACC teams that have not won a game in the month of November?
It's so difficult to figure out, Pac, to be quite frank with you. We saw a team that was, you know, just solidified up front and had some guys that would blow you over and had no problem running the ball against anybody. And now these last 2 weeks, they've been held under or 100 yards under their average, you know, 2 weeks in a row. And you know, I don't know what it's going on with the team or chemistry or guys just aren't feeling it anymore, because that's certainly what we're seeing in this climate. Again, I talked about it so many different times that it's taking a toll on people this season. It's taking a toll on staffs. It's taking a toll on players. I mean, just to be tested 3+ times a week, every week, just to go out there and get your tail whipped, I mean, it's kind of like, do I really want to do this anymore? So I'm not saying that's exactly what's happening. Could it be happening with Virginia Tech? Sure. And you know, the different things that you're hearing from the outside, people wanting change, people saying this isn't working anymore. It is an interesting situation that's going on in Virginia Tech right before our eyes.
All right, we got plenty more to go with Mac here on a Monday, of course. Next stop, accounting. Pointed comments have come from our noted viewers and fans. A lot of pointed comments. We'll get to that more. Reminder, of course, that Football Saturdays on ACC Network start at 10 a.m. with the huddle. Jordan Cornett gathers the fellas around, full preview of the ball games, the inside analysis, and features you come to expect leading up this Saturday to Roddy Jones and I at the Dome for NC State and Syracuse. The huddle is at 10 a.m. right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, when we come back, accounting is next with Eric McClain. And how big a win was it for NC State Saturday night? Schedule says it might be setting up for the old Pack. We'll do that and more when we come back right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. And this leads right into accounting. And I am just going to, before we ever see the first sign of this, I don't believe it's difficult this week. I don't think it's hard at all.
I agree with you. No, I mean, there wasn't much movement, if at all. It was kind of that group of, you know, 9 to 12 that they just kind of fluctuate each and every week here. But no concerns at the top. You know, the top four didn't play, so they stay kind of put there. But NC State, you know, it was funny enough before the game, you know, just looking at potentially where would they be if they lost? How far would they fall? And for them to win the way that they did, truly remarkable. They're holding firm at 5. And really just a remarkable season. I'm sure we'll talk about them a little bit more in a second here. But how about Pitt making some jumps? I mean, they fell – I don't think they fell too far, maybe past 12 in my rankings, but back up to 7. Wes just mentioned it earlier. These guys are playing really inspired football right now and at the best time with who you're playing next. So can't wait to watch those guys. Everybody else there just kind of are who they are. Like I said, 8 through – or 9 through – you know, 13, just kind of move around week to week. If you win, you go up. If you lose, you go down one. And like Pack just said, it was pretty easy this week.
Yeah. Mac, let me ask you a question about teams here in the middle. And I want to go back to Eric's screen briefly here because I want to give you four. I'll put the list of 4. 5, 6, 7, and 8 on your board, okay? Is NC State, Wake, Pitt, and Boston College. Of those 4, I'm not sure each week how one is 5, 6, 7, or 8 because I think they've all got momentum, but they've all also shown flaws this year. Agree?
That's exactly right. No, I do agree. And it's just been that revolving door for who's the 5th spot, right? It's been so funny to see, you know, who has the better week. You know, it was Wake Forest for a little while. Now NC State obviously playing really well. I had Boston College. I had all 4 of those teams at that spot at any given time, but it's just like you get there and then you take a couple of steps back. NC State has been the most consistent the last 2 weeks, I guess we could say, but you're absolutely right. And it's teams that are so close, and I think you have to be excited. You look at NC State's future. You look at Wake Forest, Pitt, depending on if people come back. Kenny Pickett, hey, you want to come back one more year? Boston College, we know the growth that they have shown and the promise that they have for years to come. So, and I'll even throw Virginia in there as well. I think that they are hitting their stride right on time offensively. It was funny talking, not funny, but it was interesting talking with Bronco and saying, our team is developing together as if we went through a spring or like a spring right now. And it just so happens that we're becoming this great football team while we're keeping score, while things matter. So I think really those 4 to 5 teams, you have to be very excited about their future, about next year, and just where the programs are going.
Well, I think it is interesting that you guys just highlighted NC State, Pitt, and Virginia, because all 3 of them have something in common, and that is a quarterback that is now either back healthy or back playing consistently, right? Bailey Hockman's done a nice job after the Devin Leary injury. Obviously, Pitt's a completely, totally different team with Kenny Pickett. And Armstrong has now been back for Virginia. So I think all 3 of those teams, in particular, the 3 that you just mentioned, all have a common thread from that perspective as we now get into the, you know, tail end of the season, the second half of the year, whatever the case may be. Virginia Tech is the one that's the concern here, in my opinion. 0 for November, huge expectations. Looked lifeless at times Saturday. I thought that was going to be a very competitive game. It was not. And that surprised me. I just thought that there would be a little want-to there. and almost this sense of urgency, given the fact that Clemson and Virginia are still left on the schedule. And none of us had a conversation about Virginia Tech finishing under 500 at the end of this year. None of us at any point in time until right now. And that's a problem. That's a concern.
Yeah, and again, talking about, you know, that want to play, that will to play, is that kind of removed with all this that's happening and your team not performing the way you want? So Virginia Tech, you know, again, like you just said, not winning in November, has a very tough end of November, December, where you just lost to Pitt. Now you have Clemson next, and you're finishing with your in-state rival who just beat you for the first time in like 15 years. So you have to think that there's some kind of motivation, some kind of want to, just to perform. I mean, if you're even looking at this saying, I'm gone, I'm out of here, well, go perform against one of the best teams in the country, help yourself out in playing Clemson, and have a great game. And then go beat your rival, because that's going to follow you around for the rest of your life, these in-state guys. And no matter how many times you win or lose to them, you always can talk about it. So I certainly think there should be motivation for Virginia Tech to play much more inspired football than what we've seen for the last 2 weeks back. I'm right there with you.
All right, Eric, I don't want to get too far ahead on the weekend, but you're not getting out of here without a thought on Friday's Notre Dame North Carolina game, because to me, football will be in the air. Ian Book has proven now in the last couple of ball games that he's not scared to sling it. We know Sam Howell have gun will travel. So what do you expect, and what are the biggest challenges facing both teams this week getting ready?
Man, I cannot wait to watch this game. I'm so happy it's on a Friday so I can watch it with no distractions, you know, no other games. I can totally dial into that game. And it was interesting enough seeing Sam talk about the game. I saw someone tweeting out yesterday, so of course, take this with a grain of salt, but just saying, hey, you know, our offense is going to be ready. We're going to have a great game plan in place, and we feel like we can score however many points it takes to win this football game. So, you know, I think it's going to be fireworks. Now, of course, Notre Dame is missing two offensive linemen, a center and a guard, and that's a huge piece of who Notre Dame is. Everything about that team kind of starts and finishes with that front five and just how much experience they had coming back. Now I know you have a freshman at center. I'm not sure how old the replacement is for guard, but that's going to be interesting to pay attention to. Now, UNC's defense is not world beaters. They're not this elite unit over there that, you know, can cause some problems, but they dial some stuff up. You're blitzing Surratt and, you know, Big Gimmel over there and try to confuse these guys and try to confuse these new guys. It could certainly be a matchup worth watching, but I think it's going to be an absolute fireworks show. I think it's a game you're not going to want to miss.
Hey, by the way, before we go, be sure you leave a couple ducks for the rest of the state of South Carolina, all right, before Thanksgiving.
Oh, wait.
Hey, no promises. They fly, they die, man.
Hey, let me offer you this. This came up during a commercial break. We yet have another field trip venture for Mark Packer. Remember how he tried to like get me into fly fishing, Mac? Remember that? Remember how like, Wes, you got to go fly fishing.
Got to, man.
All this. Okay, hold. During the commercial break a moment ago, Eric McClain said he was going to go duck hunting during the Thanksgiving break here between, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, so on and so forth. Pack said, quote, never been
duck hunting.
Now all of a sudden, Mac, I think you got a little orientation you need to perform on Pack and some duck hunting.
Look, I can take you, any of these great fans of Packer and Durham, if you're watching right now and you have a bunch of land or a hunting club, if you want to invite Packer or I, Wes, you're invited too. We'd love to come hang out and we can teach these guys how to duck hunt.
I've never been. I'd love to go duck hunting.
No, we're teaching Packer how to duck hunt, not Wes. Wes is fine.
You've been?
Packer's
you've
duck
been.
Hunting.
I got you.
I'd love to go. Hey, I'll put some camo on, some face paint. I go out there amongst
That's
the folks
right.
in nature. I'd
Come
go out there and get in the mud.
Some waiter. Do you know what waiters are?
Yeah.
Pack, do you know what waiters are?
I do know what waiters are.
Okay.
I can do that.
All right, good.
I'll stick some Bojangles biscuits in my pocket, some hunting dogs. Man, that sounds like a
Shout
good time
out.
To me.
Yes, sir.
Right? Out in the woods with a gun.
Yeah.
Shoot.
I mean.
I tell you. Wes better be. Yeah. I tell
well,
you
ducks
what.
Ducks don't live in woods. They live around swampy marsh. Area, ponds. Marsh. Not, it's not so much woods, marsh. Yeah.
I tell you what, I get if I get any ammo left, I come down there to Cartersville, Georgia. We'll go hunting.
All right.
That's right.
Quick checklist. Wait. Quick checklist before we go to break. And we always thank Eric for his time. Quick checklist for Packer. He just said, I like wearing camo.
Yeah.
I like face paint.
Yeah.
I don't mind shooting guns. Yeah. All that just
He's
sounds
ready.
Like your wheelhouse.
He's
Packer.
Ready.
I've never yeah, been duck
you're
hunting.
Ready.
I have yeah. never been duck hunting. You know.
Thank you, Eric. Have a great holiday.
I don't think I need to bring I'm afraid that if I bring Chester and Fuller, that could be a problem, though. I'm not sensing Chester and Fuller
yes.
up to the hunting standards.
No, they're not. We got best and worst of the weekend coming up. Duck hunting. I would absolutely love to see it happen. I would. I think it'd be face paint,
list.
Camo, the whole bit.
I'm in.
I know. We're putting it down there with driving the golf cart to cross-country meet.
That's
all
it.
That and more.
Bring my gun with me.
Best and worst of the weekend still to come. Dan Radakovich, the Clemson AD at 9 o'clock. Jeff Capel at 9:15 on Monday's Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Thanksgiving coming up is a reminder in case you've been hiding underneath a rock. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, time for a little best of the weekend, Wes. And we have a little bit of everything on this list. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, let's start with the championship yesterday. Clemson clipped Pitt 2-1 to win the ACC Soccer Championship. Kamarni Smith is the most valuable player for Mike Noonan's team, and Valentin Noel, another goal. Just an amazing season for Pittsburgh. And I hope we get a spring national format tournament of some sort, Pack, so we can see these two teams get after it. You know, I think they're both very, very talented.
I would love to see it because I think there's a distinct opportunity for the ACC to be the entire Final Four. That's why I like to see it. Same thing with the ladies. I mean, that is a distinct possibility. How deep the league is in both men's and women's soccer. And I hope we do have a national championship in the spring. I hope we have spring sports. I'm praying for it, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be a difficult ride coming up, no question.
DJ Turner is on best of the weekend. How? Hey, you get 15 catches and a win over Virginia Tech. That's how.
And he was catching everything. It's like seven was – I mean, not only was he open, but even when he wasn't open, he was catching everything. And you're like, where'd this guy come from? And poor Virginia Tech would be sitting there going, man, we don't have to deal with Jordan Addison today. Okay, great. Well, how about this guy? 15 catches, Wes.
Yeah.
And Kenny is spinning it, man. I'm telling you what, Kenny Pickett's out there having fun. You know, after being, you know, knocked up and – October was just a brutal month for Pitt. They just couldn't win a game. Went 0 for October. They've come back between a COVID game getting postponed, an open date late, getting healthy. But Kenny Pickett is having fun. But nobody had a better weekend than DJ Turner now. He was out of sight.
Yeah. By the way, if you had Harry Orzelak with the school record, 16 against Penn State in 1968, you're this morning's Packer and Durham trivia winner.
That's it.
Been a long time since we've talked about Harry Orzelak on this show, by the way.
It's also been a long time
since
it's also been a long time since we mentioned Penn State, but that won't be the case tomorrow during the counting. Hint, hint. We are 0-5.
0-5. That's right. All right.
Didn't mean to let the cat out of the bag there, but that was just too easy. It's a short week for all of us. I'm giving everybody a little heads up on that.
Or the proverbial lion. Okay. Vi Jones, by the way, is the best of the weekend as well. Why? Because he blocked the kick. How about that? What a great play. By the way, very entertaining game for 15-14, by the way.
Kind of an old school game. You just don't see scores like that very often in this day and age of college football with teams that are above 500. I mean, normally today's world, it's a 31-28, 42-38, whatever the case may be. But, hey, if you're Dave Doeren, you take it, you put it in your back pocket, and you say, thank you very much. Next up, and that would be Syracuse. Yep. But for the Wolfpack and Wolfpack Nation, you know what? This team has grinded through. They've had roller coaster ride games, won some close ones, lost some close ones, but it has been a major bounce back season in Raleigh. And congratulations to Dave Doeren, his staff, and his players.
Next on the list, Alex Kessman, who can kick them from a long ways. Had a pair of 50-plus on Saturday.
Yep. Boy, I go back to their season. Well, speaking of NC State, I still go back to the NC State pick game. You had the call, and Pitt wasn't the same team after that one. And here's Kessman just absolutely lighting it up from past 50. I still go back to that missed extra point in overtime to BC. Again, back-to-back one-point losses. This Pitt team is so close. Yeah. To having a monster year. They really are. But they're playing their best football right now. And Kessman, again, there was a lot of folks talking about his lack of confidence early. Not now. He's making it from everywhere.
Kenny Pickett also makes this list for the Panthers. Why? Well, career high in attempts and completions. He's clipped 400-plus, by the way, passing yards in a game twice this year. Pack, just, you know what? We need to probably keep him up on that list of quarterbacks in the ACC, too. He probably might need to be coming to the front of that line a little quicker than we thought maybe, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. Kenny Pickett's come back from that injury and been really good.
Really good and playing inspired. I mean, they're having fun playing football. And, again, I go back to coaches that find ways to keep their kids motivated when things are not going well. And when Pittsburgh had the month of October in which it got away from them and all their dreams of maybe an ACC championship appearance, you know, New Year's Day Six Bowl, whatever the all that went by the wayside in October. Their defense didn't play great. Kenny was hurt. Their offense wasn't great. Wouldn't run the ball. And all of a sudden, they seemingly have gotten whole in some respects. Paris Ford opts out. But good for them. And that, again, I think that goes back to coaching. Guys that are able to keep their kids dialed in and motivated to play this late in the year when all your hopes and dreams had kind of gotten away, that to me is good coaching. And Pat Narduzzi and his staff have done a nice job.
Isaiah Moore of NC State makes the list. 13 tackles, two of them for loss. But you know what, Pac? He was also a guy that was after Malik Willis all night long too.
Yep, and you had to stop the quarterback because he is a dangerous dude for Liberty. And good for NC State for helping the league, too. I mean, let's be honest. Liberty saw Syracuse, W. Liberty saw Virginia Tech, W. You just didn't want to have Liberty go for the hat trick here and go for the trifecta. And I thought NC State was physical. They were tough. And so was Liberty. I mean, that's a good club. Hugh Freeze has done a tremendous job coaching those guys up. You mentioned the 10-game winning streak snapped. It was the longest in the country behind Notre Dame, who was idle. But a terrific win for NC State and a good win for the league.
Absolutely. So that's the best of the weekend here on Packer and Durham. Quick reminder to you, we have basketball starting Wednesday on this very network. In fact, we're going to start with ladies at noon. Longwood visits Duke. Carol Lawson's debut as the head coach of the Blue Devils. Pam Ward, LaChana Robinson will be there to handle that. Then at 2 o'clock, Beth Bowens and Debbie Antonelli will have North Florida against the defending ACC champion, 8th-ranked NC State. Women's basketball Wednesday. I like the shiny new graphics, by the way, right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Worst of the weekend coming next. And you know what? We got a list of markouts at the top that's not good and an injury that takes out one of the best in the ACC. All that and more coming up next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham here on ACC Network. Wes, you just gave a promo for women's basketball getting started on Wednesday, and I'm just going to give you a little tease an hour from now when we get to the last segment of the show. I received a gift from Coach Hoover, Wake Forest women's basketball. All right. Her husband, John, stopped by the house on a Friday with a delivery from
Wake Forest.
And, of course, you know how much I love handwritten notes. So I will, we will unveil all of this coming up in the last segment of the show today. The Wake Forest women's basketball program, getting it done. Stuff for the basement.
Can I? All right. Anything wearable?
Yes.
That we're going to get in that gift box?
Wearable, drinkable, nothing edible.
Oh,
nothing edible. But you'll enjoy it.
No chicken sticks?
No. Total upgrade. Listen to me. Upgrade. It's a great gift package. You're going to like it. It's sitting right here on the desk, but I'm not going to show it.
Looking forward to that.
All right.
Hour from now, we will unveil what Coach Jen Hoover and Wake Forest women's basketball sent to the basement.
Yep.
Excited to see that.
Good stuff.
Let's get you to the worst of the weekend, by the way. There are a few things on here. We're going to start with COVID getting the ACC last week.
Oof.
Three games went bye-bye.
Yeah.
Three games. Georgia Tech at Miami, scratch. No Jackets and Canes. That one has been put on a preliminary December 19th mark, by the way. Wake Forest Duke, supposed to meet for the 101st time. Scratch. That didn't happen. That would have been fun to see, too. Deacon's playing well lately. Blue Devils trying to find that vibe late. That ball game canceled, by the way, announced by the ACC. And we're still waiting to see what the final word's going to be on Clemson and Florida State after Saturday morning's scratch of that contest.
It was set for high noon.
It was
a rough week for the ACC in particular. It was a rough week for college football. As I mentioned, we had 62 games scheduled for last week. 18 of them were canceled and or postponed. That's a tough week. And after that, that really is the third consecutive week we've seen an upward climb. And we've already got a couple that have been kicked to the curb already for this week, including the Apple Cup with Washington and Washington State. So,
right. You
know, like I said, every hour you check the ticker just to see where we are. And I suspect it'll be a rough ride as we move forward to not only this week, but the rest of the year, whatever the year looks like.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, Mark. I think there's, 18 last week, 16 the week before. It's been 34 in 2 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, it went 10, 15, 18, which is not good. And by the way, you mentioned
15, 18, so 33 in the last two.
Oh, you're on a roll. The math's kicking in. By the way, men's basketball, women's basketball starting Wednesday. I saw a stat last night. 35 teams, as of right now, have paused activities and or quarantining in basketball. The start could be a little spotty. I'll say it again. The most important thing for basketball is the conclusion. If we start Wednesday, great.
Right.
If it's a stutter step and we get it down the road, hey, whatever. But we've got to get a conclusion for basketball. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Next up on the worst of the weekend, Virginia Tech. Still no wins in November, Pac.
Well, I told you, there's one of six. Hey, there's six others in the ACC. They're looking for their first W in November. It's been a weird month for the pandemic, COVID, cancellations, postponements, open dates, off weeks, flip-flop schedules. You knew it'd be kind of goofy, but for Virginia Tech, they've played three of them and went L. Just did not see that coming. Didn't see it.
Yeah. Friday night at Louisville, Syracuse had struggles, and one of them was kick returns.
Oof.
Gave it back twice. That was a tremendous hit right here. That coughed it up, and then Nykeem Johnson gives it back on one here.
Well, we had six turnovers in this game. Cuse had three. I mean, the kickoff coverage and return game was just brutal. Like I told you, no points, three turnovers, six completed passes, seven first downs, fumbles. You know, it's an L. and you get ready for NC State the best way you can. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. Shout out to NC State. Won the game, but committed 14 penalties.
Well, that'll give Dave Dorn enough to yell at his guys about 15 points, 14 penalties, but the bottom line is a W. At the end of the day, hey, it may be ugly. Yeah, we want to go on sideways. The object's to win the game, and the Wolfpack absolutely did that. But there's a lot to clean up on that side. It was sloppy, yeah, to say the least, on that side for NC State. But like I said, at the end of the day, the object's to win the game. And that is exactly what NC State did Saturday night, in a game that they had to win. And really, quite frankly, I think the conference needed to win that game Saturday night. You couldn't go 0-3 to Liberty.
By the way, we had a small menu of games. So some of you have appeared on best and worst, and some of you might be doubling down on worst. Syracuse, I'm sorry. You're on it again. Three turnovers, just 6 completions, 7 first downs, and no points. Sorry.
I've said my piece on this one.
Do we think Macri's doing okay, by the way? You think Josh is doing
okay?
Josh
is fine. You know why? Because Josh is getting ready for men's and women's basketball. If you're a Syracuse fan, hey, you know what? This football thing has been tough the last 2 years. We hope to get better. Again, we're rooting for Dino. We like him a lot. It's always good when Cuse is winning because he's always in good spirits. And, again, in the last year and a half, it's been really tough in football. But it's time. I'm ready to watch Tiana and the ladies take care of business, and I'm curious to see Coach Boeheim beat COVID, get healthy, and roll the ball out there and see what we're going to get for basketball. Again, I know it's going to be start-stop. I get it. But I think everybody in Central New York is ready for basketball.
There you go. You had to ask me the worst thing happened this weekend. Yeah, there have been some tough performances, things like that. The end for Charles Snowden is not the way any of us wanted to see it. Let's put it that way. One of the finer people in the ACC, clearly from a student-athlete perspective. The outside linebacker for the Cavaliers, an ankle injury. His college career is now over after the injury the other night against Abilene Christian. Super, super young man, talented football player, been great on our show. I've enjoyed the visits with him when I've had the Cavaliers and our coverage on television. Excited about his future, but sorry it ended the way it did on Saturday from a Virginia perspective.
Well, you hate any kid gets injured, right? I mean, they've put in such amazing amounts of hours of dedication and time, passion, and all that. So any injury stinks. But this, like I told you, this guy is going to be incredibly successful no matter what he decides to do, whether it be football, whether it be politics, you name it. This guy could do anything. He is an incredibly impressive guy when you meet him. When he talks, you should pay attention. He's got a kind of a visionary process to him that he just kind of gets the big picture. And he was a joy to talk to on this show, and we wish him a speedy recovery. He is a great representation of what a student-athlete should be, whether we're talking about the University of Virginia or any school in the country. He is a big-time dude, and we wish him the best. No question.
Yep, absolutely. Cavaliers, of course, got the win over Abilene Christian, but a tough loss for them in terms of a leadership perspective with Charles Snowden, for sure. We've got Dan Radakovich, the athletics director at Clemson, coming up. Jeff Capel, who, by the way, Packer and I've talked about, one of the kind of sleepers, if you will, among potential ACC basketball teams. Be interesting to talk to Jeff Capel in the 9 o'clock hour. But the Clemson AD, Dan Radakovich, joins us next on Monday's Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.